WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Charlottesville law enforcement officials say they will not participate in any local ICE raids. Landowners and a solar company are appealing a decision by Augusta County officials against a large solar facility. And our All Things Considered host, Kimberly Daggy, previews this summer's Heifetz International Music Institute's Summer Festival. It's the WMRA Daily for Thursday, June 27th. Charlottesville law enforcement officials say they will not participate in any federal immigration and customs enforcement raids should they occur locally. The Daily Progress reports that the Charlottesville Police Department, along with the local sheriff's office and Charlottesville Commonwealth's attorney's office, said in a news release on Wednesday that they would not participate in any ICE raids. They also stated that ICE has not informed them of any raids planned in the area. ICE raids were initially set to begin in 10 major U.S. cities last Sunday and target upwards of 2,000 families, according to the Washington Post. But on Saturday, President Donald Trump wrote in a tweet that he delayed the raids and instead requested Democrats work on a plan to solve issues at the border. Charlottesville was not on the list of cities targeted. Landowners and a solar company are appealing in court a decision by the Augusta County Board of Supervisors against a large solar facility. The newsleader reports that Augusta Solar LLC and the 13 landowners who would have leased land to the company have filed an appeal against the county and the Board of Supervisors. The appeal asks the Augusta County Circuit Court to reverse the board's decision to deny the special use permit application for a 940-acre solar facility. In a 5-2 February vote, the Planning Commission said the project met the comprehensive plan, but at its May 22nd meeting, the board voted 4-3 to deny the special use permit application. A bill that would raise the federal minimum age for sale of tobacco products to 21 passed a Senate committee on Wednesday. It features amendments that have eased some criticisms from health advocates. From partner station WCVE, Patrick Larson reports.
The tobacco bill is co-sponsored by Democratic Senator Tim Kaine. It originally threatened to limit substance abuse funding to states that did not raise the age to purchase tobacco. Groups like the nonprofit Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids opposed the state condition, saying that it would allow tobacco lobbyists to influence state legislation. Kaine says that it was intended to ensure that the law was enforced both federally and on the state level.
There was a general acceptance of the goal, but a belief that maybe the way we were proposing it could have an unintended consequence.
The new version of the legislation raises the national tobacco sale age to 21, regardless of what state legislatures do. States can still be penalized for failing to enforce the federal rule. The Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids has since announced its full support of the bill.
And that's Patrick Larson from partner station WCVE reporting. With every House and Senate seat up for grabs in November in Virginia, nearly one-third of residents remain unsure which party they want to win control of the General Assembly. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
A poll just released by VCU Center for Public Policy shows support for a Democrat-controlled General Assembly has dropped since their last poll in July. Poll director Farrah Stoner.
Support for Democratic control has dropped 9 percentage points, and those saying don't know has actually increased by 12%.
Those favoring a Democrat-controlled General Assembly dropped from 52 to 43%. As for the governor,
Governor Northam's approval rating hovers at about 40%. So even after a tumultuous General Assembly session, his approval rating only decreased by about 4 percentage points.
Almost half of Virginians said don't know when asked about how Justin Fairfax and Mark Herring are handling their jobs. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Louisa County and other areas will receive new state money for economic development. Governor Ralph Northam approved more than $800,000 for Growth and Opportunity, or Go Virginia. The grants assist projects in each region to diversify the local economy and support joint government and private business programs. In Louisa County, the Go Virginia grants will help fund planning for a new 700-acre regional business park. An estimated 18,000 black bears roam Virginia. This time of year, that includes lots of mothers and cubs. Most of them are healthy, but wildlife watchers report a growing number have mange. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports on what causes the disease and how research in the Commonwealth could revolutionize treatment.
Mange is a condition caused by a microscopic mite found in the environment. It afflicts many mammals, causing their hair to fall out and their skin to thicken. As their bodies fight the disease, metabolism increases and the animals lose weight, according to Peach Van Wyk, a research fellow at the Wildlife Center of Virginia.
The bears become really skinny, and severely affected bears don't even look like bears. They're completely hairless and their skin gets really thick and crusty, and they can actually die from it.
Veterinarian Van Wyk says the disease can be cured with medication.
Historically, the treatment of mange has been a dose of a drug called ivermectin, but you have to give it one dose 2 weeks apart. That's fine for a cat or a dog, but a free-ranging animal, you can't recapture them 2 weeks apart.
So she's doing a clinical trial at the Wildlife Center, giving a single dose of a different drug in food. If it works, Van Wyk says the treatment could be given statewide by the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. If you see a sick bear, that agency asks you to call so the animal can be trapped and treated. I'm Sandy Houseman.
Finally today, how do young musicians hone their craft? Well, of course, by working with the pros. And the Heifetz International Music Institute, based in Stanton, has spent decades doing just that. The Institute's annual Summer Music Festival featuring their work kicks off this weekend. WMRA's All Things Considered host Kimberly Daggy has this preview of the festival and how it all got started.
Violinist Daniel Heifetz, a distant cousin to 20th century superstar violinist Yasha Heifetz, founded the Institute back in 1996. Every summer, the Institute brings young musicians from teenagers to 20-somethings to the Valley for 6 weeks of intensive training. Heifetz stepped down in January 2018, and after an international search, the Institute named violinist Nicholas Kitchen as artistic director. Kitchen teaches at the New England Conservatory of Music and is first violinist of the conservatory's resident ensemble, the Borromeo String Quartet. The quartet is also the ensemble in residence at the Heifetz Institute, where they and Kitchen have taught for the last 3 summers. I asked him what it was about the students that attracted him to the festival in the first place.
Well, to put it obviously, they're so talented. Music is in all of us. That said, musical talent is one of the miracles that occurs in people. We all depend on this talent to be like the explorers that have the special equipment that allow them to go to Antarctica. That talent is what allows them to go to these places that are treasured places, that are privileged places. And we benefit from it as an audience, as listeners. But as teachers, we have to raise the next generation of people that are going to be able to go to those places. And we have to gather enough of those talented musicians that they can teach themselves. It really is gathering these tremendously talented young people and these tremendously talented faculty members into one place. The summer is really where it becomes all concentrated in Stanton. Everyone is just putting themselves into it 200%. And that is magic, to put all of that in one place and basically let it do its thing.
Immersing oneself in music for the summer is a time-honored tradition.
That's right. Brahms wrote some of his greatest pieces during the summer. And there's a special thing that happens in the summer where you're in momentum from the year, but somehow the environment changes and it opens up a door that you just can't open other times of the year. Something like the Heifetz Institute is just living in that doorway and trying to bring as much as we can to the students so they can really just drink in all that they can to grow.
What's your vision for the festival and the Institute?
A lot of it is to continue what's already happening, preserving its quality, preserving the goals and the principles. I think what Daniel Heifetz identified was that you would have performers playing their instruments quite well, but their heart is not meeting the heart of the audience. So he said, I'm going to create an institute that puts it front and center for the students that we have to do both of these things. The tangible part of that is the communication training. This is the way humans help each other out. This is the experience they create that people love when someone sits in the audience of a concert and they're inspired, transported, and they're thrilled. combine that with those things you have to do with your fingers and that you have to do with your bow and you have to do with this and that. All those have to be taught as a whole. The musician is going to do something brilliant on all fronts, and the Heifetz Institute is going to do everything that it can to prepare that musician to do that. You're going to see people that are from all over the world, all over the country. You have this wonderful slice of what it means to share talent and share the gift that is music itself and the gift to be able to make music. That's a beautiful experience, and I look forward to sharing it with all the people that are listening today.
Violinist Nicholas Kitchen, the new artistic director of the Heifetz International Music Institute. And young musicians from the Institute playing Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings. The Institute's annual Summer Festival opens on Saturday and runs through August 10th, with concerts every day in various venues throughout Stanton. For WMRA News, I'm Kimberly Daggy.
Learn more about the events this summer, that story, at WMRA.org and through the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Liebeke. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.